And we want to keep reminding ourselves the context of this book. The Hebrew Christians were under persecution, as were all Christians in their day. But the Hebrew Christians were struggling. They were weakening because for generations they had done things a certain way. And with all of the persecution that was going on, as we've talked about in the last few weeks, there was this inclination to maybe drift backwards, to maybe what we needed is to go back to the ritual and go back to temple worship or step away from this new thing called Christianity, which it wasn't even called Christianity at that time. At that time, it was just called the way of Jesus of Nazareth. So they're struggling with all of these things. So in our text today, or let me back up. We talked last week about the idea that the writer of Hebrews was trying to communicate, which was that if you are saved by the grace of God, you belong to him. And our proposition for you was that in this, according to this text, you can't lose your salvation if you are truly saved. If you are truly saved. And we also pointed out that time and time again in the New Testament, the authors would spend sometimes several chapters building an argument. We're talking about in the sense of a debate. They would build an argument. They would build something that they wanted to convey. And as you go through the text, you would find very often the word therefore. So you would go and you would read what they're arguing, and then you'd get to a point that says, therefore, which is now, everything I've said means this. So as we come to our text today, for the Hebrews who are receiving this message, their greatest fear may well have been change. You see, for hundreds of years, ever since Abraham dealt directly with God, there were certain regimented, orderly ways of dealing with God. As humans, we're always changing, and technology has only increased in its pace. I don't know how many of you here have had the struggle with the smartphone. I determined from the very beginning that I wasn't qualified to have a smartphone. I wasn't smart enough to have a smartphone. The first smartphone I ever had, I took it out of the box, looked at it, punched a few buttons, and handed it to my teenage daughter and said, "Can you make this work?" In fact, the only reason I had a smartphone is because at that particular time, this was almost 4.5 years ago, I was candidating for a church to be the college pastor. And we agreed that there's no way I could be the minister to the college kids with a flip phone. That wouldn't work. So I got a smartphone. So it's a resistance to change, and we all kind of get used to it after a while. As humans, we're always changing, and technology increases, and see, ever since the fall of Adam, when sin was introduced, change has just been a part of life. The moment we are born, we begin to age and change. Values and morals have certainly changed in our culture, have they not? We live in a time when right is being called wrong, and wrong is now called right. Every value, it seems, in America is being challenged by some group or other. So change is everywhere. So for these Hebrew Christians, after decades of the same, this new Christianity thing was a challenge. So turn with me, if you will. We pick up the story in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And the first part of 6 was all about how we belong to God. And the second part of Hebrews 6, beginning at verse 13, doesn't start with a therefore, but if you look at the text, God has us in his grip. God is faithful to us. We sang the song, "Great is his faithfulness." And as we pick up the story in verse 13, it doesn't say therefore, but it's implied. So let's pray over the word, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds. We ask that you would bless the reading of the word, and the message of the day would be that which you would have us hear. So bless our time together. Bless the word of the Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 6, we'll pick up the story at verse 13. Again, change is a constant in life. So in this text, we're going to talk about this idea that God doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's telling the Hebrews that in a changing world, you could count on an unchanging God. In theological terms, it's called the immutability of God. Something that's mutable is something that can be changed. Something that is immutable is something that cannot be changed. To be immutable means to be unchanging, unchangeable, not even subject to change. Nothing God has ever said about himself will be modified. Nothing the prophets and apostles have said about him will be rescinded. His immutability guarantees this. Did you see the connection? In the first part of Hebrews, he's saying, you belong to God on the assurance of who God is. You are, if you are saved, if you are truly saved, nothing can change that. So he goes on to say, why? Because God is unchangeable. If God has promised you in the first part of this chapter that you belong to him and nothing can take you from his hands, if God is changeable in any way, that might change. You see? So what the author is telling the Hebrews is, if you are truly saved, you are saved, period. And why? Because God is unchanging, which is our subject today. The truth of God's unchangeability is seen very clearly in the life of Abraham, even while he went through a lot of change. The author of Hebrews uses him as an example to help discourage distraught believers like these Hebrew Christians. There are many verses in the Bible that teach the immutability of God. Let me just read a few while you're turning to Hebrews chapter 6. Here's just a sample. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And then the New Testament in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So this message about God being unchangeable is throughout Scripture. But let's go to our text. We're going to look at four things that help us understand this immutability of God. And I didn't have my remote clicker, so if we could click the first slide. Verse 13 through 15, let's read those together. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. Well, so God's promises never change, because God never changes. While it's common for humans to swear by someone greater in a courtroom, you know, put your hand on the Bible, I swear, you know, we say things like, I swear by my children, you know, some things like that. We say in a court, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God, which I find very fascinating in a culture that's trying to kick God out of everywhere. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. They probably take that out pretty soon. So God doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to swear by anyone else because there's no one greater than he is. God's pledge is based on his own character. You know, in our text, it talks about surely, this is verse 14, surely I will bless you and multiply you. Now this isn't just a literary device. Oh, surely I will do this. When God says surely, he's giving you the assurance based on who he is that this will in fact happen. So look at it in that context, and this is God saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. Surely. It's a strong affirmation. It could be translated as assuredly or yes indeed. So Abraham was given a promise. In Genesis 15:6, it says this, about that, and he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. He believed the Lord and it counted him as righteousness. Abraham heard this, surely I will bless you. Abraham believed it and it was counted to him as righteousness. In Romans chapter 4, verse 21, it says this. This is talking about Abraham. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Abraham was fully convinced that God can do what he promised. So here's my question for us. Are we fully convinced that God will fulfill his promises? When we have doubt in our hearts about that, we're not really sure that God's going to take care of us, then we worry. Then we worry. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you one of those funny signs that some of the churches put up on their church. And it says, worry is temporary atheism. But you get it? If I'm not sure of who God is, you know, I was sure yesterday. Today I'm a little unsure because things are really going south for me. Well, if you believe